Welcome to the Bible Way Outreach Church Sunday Morning Podcast. This podcast is a recap of our Sunday morning service for September the 9th, 2018. But first, a quick reminder. We are excited to announce our Tuesday night family Bible study will resume on Tuesday, September 25th at 6 p.m. Come out and get a midweek dose of the Word of God. This morning's service topic is Understanding God's Will for Your Life, Part 1 by Assistant Pastor Ernestine Gold Livingston. The main scriptures for the text were Ephesians 4 verse 1, Luke 12 verse 48, Colossians 1 verse 10, Ephesians 5 verse 15 and 17, 2 Chronicles 26, verse 5. The focus of this message is 1. Endeavor to live a life pleasing to God according to the vocation to which you have been called. 2. For unto whosoever much is given, of him shall much be required. 3. Live in a manner worthy of the Lord, glorify God, and please Him in every way. 4. Look to please the Father, bearing fruit in every good work. 5. Bear fruits in good works, growing in the knowledge of God. 6. Grow in the knowledge of God, God's way. 7. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is for your life. 8. Pay careful attention to how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. And 9. As long as you continue to diligently seek the Lord for your life, you will prosper. Now, let us join our service, which is already in progress, entitled Understanding God's Will for Your Life, Part 1.
Understanding the will of God for your life. Let me say that one more time. Understanding the will of God. And we continually hear about purpose, and we continually hear about the will of your life. We're going to have just a different slant on this. And the Holy Spirit is so awesome. We can keep getting the same scriptures, but He continues to give different revelation on the same thing that we see. So nothing can be, you know, when you see these people that go by these sermons, hallelujah, they are selling themselves short, because the Holy Spirit, God is so creative, until He can create anything out of nothing like He did this world. And He can always show you a different way to see something and to perceive it. Hallelujah. And He can put a different twist on it. Hallelujah. Thank you. So, understanding God's will for your life. And we're going to be based out of Ephesians 4, Ephesians 5, around those areas, and over there by 2 Chronicles 26. We're going to get real good with that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the Word of God is exciting. And sometimes, especially when we've been given a charge to bring the Word, you know, that Word spills out of us before we get to the service. It spills out of you before you get to the time to teach it. It just, who you speak to is who gets it. It just spills out, because it's so much, the vessel can't hold all the light of God. Hallelujah. That light has to be shared. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And so we're going to be based out of Ephesians 4, and basically Ephesians 4 and Ephesians 5. But it basically, just to give you a little background on Ephesians 4, Paul was talking to the Ephesians, and he was telling them about being aware of the practical things that they needed to do in their Christian walk. And he was talking to them, and he was telling them that every Christian is given grace by the Redeemer, by Jesus Christ. He was telling them that the Lord Jesus ascended to heaven to obtain gifts, hallelujah, for His people. He told them that the Lord had given gifts of apostles, prophets, evangelists, for the very purpose of imparting instruction and confirming them in the faith of the gospel. He also told them that he exhorted them to not live like the pagans live. And he told them to show that they were under a different type of lifestyle, a different type of covenant, or a different type of influence. And that influence was a better way to live. Hallelujah. He was talking to them about, you know, you in the world, basically saying you in the world, but just don't be of the world. You got pagans all around you. They sacrifice in the idols, but we don't do that. And it equates to what we do now in this world. You know, we're supposed to be in this world, but not of this world. We don't have to adopt everything the world does because the world is not of God. And the world is of the devil because they do some outrageous things. And we are supposed to be separated from that. And people are supposed to understand when they look at you, if you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, they ought to see Jesus. When they look at you and you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, they ought to get an understanding, or they ought to be able to see that spirit that's alive in you. They ought to see life in you. They ought to be the kind that want to be around you all the time, because they know that you full of life, you full of light, you full of wisdom, you full of what all the good things and the good fruits of the Spirit that God has invested in you. And so people want to be around that. People don't want to be around losers. People don't want to be around people who are not doing anything and not going anywhere, not saying anything. They want to be around people who prosper. A lot of times people in the world say, let me rub off some of that prosperity on me. Let me try to even rub elbows with you sometimes. You know, they're fooling around playing. But the whole point is that they want to be in the presence of people who have something to say, who are doing something with their lives, and who can give something and share some amount of wisdom and knowledge to them. Amen. Now, for the people who don't want that, they're not doing anything, and they're not going anywhere, and they don't really care. But when you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I should not have to talk to you to see Jesus. I should not have to have a conversation with you. Your life is a conversation to me. And the way you live, you're the living epistle. You are the one that is glowing. You are the city that's set on a hill. Hallelujah. You are the light that it cannot be hid under a bushel. You are what is fantastic and fabulous to them because you were in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we need to see ourselves that way. We're not trying to strive to be like anybody but Jesus. We're not trying to strive to be like anyone in the world or anyone in the church, except the head of the church, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. So that's basically what he was talking about. You know, you all calm down. You're not trying to be like these people out here. You know, this is the lifestyle that you came from. That's what he was saying. You came from this lifestyle. Now show them that God is business and that God means business, and show them that God can change anybody. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So then going on, he was telling them some things, like he told them to perform their particular Christian duties and put away certain evils, like put away anger, put away theft, put away corrupting conversation, put away grieving the Holy Spirit, put away bitterness, evil speaking, malice. And he entreated them to manifest in their conversation, manifest in their life with each other, a spirit of kindness and forgiveness. And then when we go over into Ephesians 5, it's more the same about practical things that they need to do. Because Paul, when he was telling them, when he would give them doctrine, he wouldn't just put that doctrine out there and lay it out there, and these are the principles of Christianity. Well, he had to tell them how to use it. Yeah, well, how are you supposed to live this? How are you supposed to live this? And then he would give them step by step how you're supposed to live it, what you're supposed to look like, what you're supposed to be saying, who you're supposed to be with. Amen. Amen. So understanding God's will for your life. Amen. Let us go to Ephesians 4:1. Let's read. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. Okay, so He said, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you have been called. He said, as a prisoner of the Lord, in another translation, I urge you. And beseech means I urge you, I beg you, I exhort you, I implore you, I entreat you. He said, please, y'all, please, 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 just please, just please. And he's saying, as a prisoner of the Lord, I'm saying, please, live a life worthy of the calling you have received. You received the calling. He said, live that life worthy of that calling that you received. Bless the Lord for giving you that call. Be thankful to him for calling you. Be thankful to him for separating you. Be thankful to him for bringing you out the world. Be thankful to him. Live a life worthy of that calling. Then another place it says, live a life that measures up to the standard that God set when he called you. God set a standard when he called you. He said, no more you're going to be doing this. Now you done had your run. You've had your fun. Hallelujah. And he said, now, come on now. He said, come on, we got to go on to higher things. I placed a call on your life. And I did that from before the foundation of the world. And so he said, now, I've been waiting for you all this time to get yourself together. I've been waiting for you all this time to get your head clear. I've been waiting for you all this time to turn your heart towards me. Hallelujah! I've been waiting for you all this time. I've been real patient with you. Now, I've set some standards when you come to me. When you come to me, you got to come right. When you come to me, you got to come in holiness. When you come to me, you got to come in righteousness. When you come to me, you got to have a desire to do what is right. When you come to me, you got to have a desire to want to do my will. When you come to me, you got to have a desire to want to do my work. When I call you, I set a standard. And I expect you to meet that standard. Hallelujah. He said, I urge you, anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what I'm talking about? He said, I urge you to walk worthy of the calling you have received. Live a life that measures up to the standard that God has set for you. Think about it. What's the standard that God has set? How do we know that standard? That standard is in his word. And the only way we're going to know the standard that God has set for us is to get in his word. The only way that we're going to know the way that God wants us to live is to get in his word. The only way that we're going to know how to walk in the way that God has called us to is to get in his word. The only way we're going to know anything about Jesus is to get in his word. We can't think off the top of our heads on this. We come from a natural man, all right? We're coming from a sinful nature. Hallelujah. And just because we're in Christ Jesus doesn't mean we always operating in the spiritual, regenerated spiritual man. We're not always walking in that newness of life. Come on now. Come on now. How many know what I'm talking about? We're not always up there where we should be. That's why we have to go back and get in the word. Refresh, renew, restore. That's why we have to get back in the word. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. So Paul is telling them, if you accepted your calling, you must live in a way that's pleasing to God. And he's talking about people who've been called. He talked about the gifts before. He talked about the apostles and prophets and teachers. And he's talking about the people who have been called, who've been designated, who've been separated, who've been sanctified, who've been set apart for a specific purpose. This is part of Bible ways. Vision, training kingdom leaders, understanding our mission, training kingdom leaders. We are kingdom leaders. And when you're a kingdom leader, you got to walk in a kingdom way. When you're a kingdom leader, you got to speak kingdom talk. When you're a kingdom leader, you got to believe kingdom doctrine, kingdom beliefs. You got to have that kingdom kind of faith as a kingdom leader. So to whom much is given, much is required. So you're not just laymen out here. You're not just laymen. Don't think that God just brought you here for, God brought you here for a reason. He brought you into a leadership training ministry for a purpose. First of all, if you're in a leadership training ministry, God is saying you got a call on your life. Let's just think about it. You're in the leadership training ministry, a ministry that trains kingdom leaders. God's saying you got a call. You got to do something with that call. And I'm going to show you what to do. Hallelujah. You got a call. It's already been established. You got to do something with that call. And if you just stay just a little while, I'm going to show you what to do with that call. Now go with me over here to Ephesians 2:10, and let's read. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. Let's read again from the top. For we are his workmanship. Stop. Again. For we are his. One more time. For we are his. Stop right there. We were created. We were created by the Almighty God in a specific way for us to bring his word. We were created by Almighty God in a particular way with a definite, unique design. That's why we don't always have the same fingerprints. Everybody's got different fingerprints. We were created. We are a workmanship, a great work of the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. You better recognize and start looking at yourself like that. You better recognize that you are a mighty work in Christ Jesus. You better recognize that you are a mighty warrior in Christ Jesus. You better recognize you are a mighty leader in Christ Jesus. You better recognize you are a mighty teacher in Christ Jesus. You better recognize you are a mighty preacher of Christ Jesus. You better recognize that you are a mighty apostle, a mighty prophet. Recognize it. Recognize it. And then walk in it. I dare you to walk in it. I've thrown the mantle down. I've drawn the line in the sand. You better not cross that line. You cross that line, you're going, what? You're going to know victory? Cross that line, you're going to know how to be greater in Christ? Cross that line, you're going to be dunamis? Whenever people see you, they're going to understand that you're dynamite and you're going to be exploding all over the word of God and the almighty power of God? Cross that line, I dare you. Cross it and walk in your calling. Cross it and walk in your calling. Get up and walk in your calling and know it and understand it and know that you are God's workmanship. He fashioned you in his workshop of heaven. He fashioned you. He decided who you're going to be. And he said it and he brought it into existence. Thus, you are here right now in living color. We are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto, stop. What kind of works?
Good.
What kind of works?
Good works.
We just not throwing God anything. God doesn't take mess. We are created to do a good work. Something that's going to bless somebody. Somebody that's going to renew somebody. Something that's going to heal somebody. Somebody that's going to break a yoke off somebody. Something that's going to bring somebody out of bondage. That's a good work. Something that's going to make somebody fruitful. That's a good work. Something that's going to make somebody increase in knowing and finally realizing who they are in Christ Jesus. When you finally realize, I used to watch children teaching them concepts in music, and that's very abstract. That's very abstract. It's not something. You can't put down on paper what you can't first see. You cannot sing what you don't first hear. You cannot play what you don't first hear. You got to hear it in your mind first. You got to hear it in your mind. You got to sense it in your spirit. Music is a thing of the spirit. I guess that's the left brain. You know, the right brain is the numbers and all that, you know, science. But music, yeah. It's something of a spirit, and it's something that you hear dancing too. Any creative anything is something that you have to first visualize, something that you have to first perceive. Anything writing, anything that's creative, you have to first hear it, you have to first see it, you have to first feel it. It has to be in your spirit before you burp that out, before you exhale that, before you bring that forth. And it has to be ruminating in there for a while. Ooh, it has to be, like the word said, meditate. You have to be meditating on that thing for a while before you even willing to share it with someone. Before you even willing to share it with someone. But when you share it, then you bold, man. You're bold when you share it because you really know and you're confident about it, what it is. When we are saying we are God's workmanship created in Christ to do good works, it's the whole gamut. Whatever God calls a good work, whatever blesses somebody is a good work, whatever feeds somebody is a good work, whatever causes somebody to increase is a good work. I forgot how I got on to music. But anyway, that's the whole thing. The whole sum of the matter is that you have to be able to see, hear, taste, feel, sense before you can produce. You do that with the Word of God. You got to be in Christ Jesus before you can be a kingdom leader. You got to be in Christ Jesus before you going to call yourself teaching somebody or preaching somebody. You got to stay there for a minute. You just got to sit there. You got to settle in. Dig in. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of that word abide. I mean, you got to settle in. You got to dig. You got to stake a claim to the land, to the territory in Christ Jesus. When people used to stake a claim, they take a shovel and they dig that shovel. I guess they put something down there that let people know that was their land. They go to the land office and register it. But the whole point is they stake the claim. They claim that territory. When you go, shall abide under the shadow of Almighty, Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. When you abide, you are living, you are staking a claim. That means you're going to sit there until you get it. Till you get it. I am not leaving till I get what I came for. Hallelujah. That's the way you ought to be determined. That's the way we need to stay determined about the things of life from God. Lord, unless you tell me, I won't know. Unless you tell me, I won't know. Lord God, you know I'm depending on you. And these people talking some crazy mess sometimes, I hear. I don't want to hear all that. I just want to hear you. I just want to hear you. Amen. Those who accepted their calling must live in a way that's pleasing to God. If you stood in the front of the altar and let Bishop lay hands on you or let any other preacher lay hands on you and confirm that you've been called to fivefold gift ministry, you've been called to serve God, and you, please don't think that you don't have to live in a certain way that's pleasing to God. It's like a vow. You made a vow to God. You made a vow. You said, Lord, I accept this call, and I vow to walk in this calling in a way that's pleasing to you. So let's read Ephesians 5:17. Wherefore, okay, now, that's why I gave you the background, because Paul was telling the people, now look, you all, you got to remember, you got to stay separate, and you got to do what you're supposed to do. You got to walk in your calling, in your vocation. You need to live a life worthy of your calling. And so when he said, you got to, and so we all the way over in Ephesians 5. And he said, you got to live a life worthy of your calling. So look now, don't be unwise, but be understanding of what the will of God is for you. I told you, you got to walk in your calling. Know what God's will is. How do I walk in my calling? What is my calling? What does that cover? What is the extent of my calling? And now, how do I conduct myself in this calling? Who do I talk to? Who do you want me to associate myself with as I grow in my calling? Come on now. These are all practical questions. God said, be ye not unwise, but understanding. In another version, he said, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't act thoughtlessly. Don't run over here. Oh, this person said they can help me with my call. Oh, this person, they good. Are they going to help me with my calling? Oh, I better go over here. Calm down. Calm down. First, seek the Lord. And be understanding what God's will is for you. Period. Another place it said, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. You know there are wolves out here in sheep's clothing. Come on now. Not everybody means good. Some people have hidden agendas to serve their own selves. Be aware. Walk circumspectly. We're going to get to that too. Walking circumspectly. All right. So then another place it says, don't be, now this is a contemporary English version, so it's not me. I'm not calling y'all this. It says, don't be stupid. Instead, find out what the Lord wants you to do. Now, can you believe that the Bible say that? Don't be stupid. Instead, find out what the Lord wants you to do. Ephesians 5, 15. Let's go there. Let's read that. See then that ye walk circumspectly. Oh, he's on that food thing. So they must have been cutting up. They were cutting up over in Ephesus. They were acting pure fools. That's what they were doing. That's what they were doing. Because first of all, he said, now, y'all, stop trying to be like the world. You're not the world. You're in Christ Jesus. Let the people see that you follow Christ. Be the light of the world. And he was saying all that, trying to, you know, talk to them all nice and everything over in Ephesians 4. And then it must have got bad. Because then he said, now, look, stop acting a fool. Stop acting a fool. Be wise. You know, it's like when you're talking to the children and you're in front of company, no, honey, sit down. Don't do that. All right? And then when company, sit your behind down. Didn't I tell you? And you're talking through your teeth and everything. Didn't I tell you? Sit your behind down. Y'all know how we do that. You know how we do that. We don't have our guest clothes on or our guest manners on. Boy, I'm gonna slap the taste out your mouth. You know, I'll knock you into the middle of next week. You know, all that stuff. You know, we heard all that. What does a soft behind make? What a hard head make? Yeah, right, right. You could tell when I was in the urban classroom, because I didn't have to do anything. When people were acting up, especially the little ninth graders, when they be acting up, I said, what is a hard head make? And all the little kids, a soft behind! I said, uh-huh, and walked on about my business. They all knew what that meant. You don't have to define anything. That's why I love the urban class. It's a cultural thing. But anyway, so I said, therefore, don't be stupid. Instead, find out what the Lord wants you to do. And then 5:15, walking circumspectly. Circumspectly means to be careful. Be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Be careful how you live. You know what? If there wasn't a need to say it, he wouldn't have been saying it. And we're still having to do that today. You know, the Word of God transcends time. The Word of God transcends generations, transcends centuries, transcends places, transcends people. Everybody understands what the Word of God is talking about when you put it to them plain. Don't act a fool. Be wise. Understand what the will of the Lord is concerning you. God has set a standard when he called you. Now live up to that standard. Amen. Amen. You've been identified as a kingdom leader. Walk like it. Talk like it. Live like it. Be a kingdom leader. And a kingdom leader is not somebody who's mediocre. A kingdom leader is somebody dynamic. Period. They come from that dunamis way. They're dynamic. So God said, be dynamic because I'm dynamic. He said, be great because I'm great. We're supposed to be a chip off the old block.
And to tip off the old block is not average, it's not mediocre, and it's not understated. Hallelujah. He's great, and he's greatly to be praised. And we're supposed to exemplify our Father in every aspect of our life. Everything we attempt is supposed to be great. Everything we try to do is supposed to be above and beyond if we seek the Lord. 2 Chronicles 26. Now, this is about King Uzziah. And now, in a nutshell, King Uzziah he assumed the throne at 16 years of age from his dad. And when he assumed the throne, he was a young person, but he would seek the Lord through the prophet Zechariah. Now, King Uzziah was great in battle. He was great he was a great commander of the armies. He was great in conquering lands. God even gave him wisdom on how to build a certain war machine where he could stand back behind a parapet. A parapet is a place, little indentations on the wall where they can stand behind and stoop down low and then sneak and pow, you know, get somebody and get back down and pick them off, you know, because people are trying to come up the hill. And so it's something like some kind of machine that would sling whatever out there, and they would just pick them off. And God gave Uzziah that wisdom, all right? And so he was doing good. And he was a good king because he was still seeking the Lord through Zechariah. Now, that's what kings did in that time. But one day, Uzziah got too proud of himself. He started smelling himself. And when he started smelling himself, he did something that he should not have done. He went up in the temple. Hallelujah. And that's only reserved for the priest to go up in there and offer incense on the altar. He didn't just go into the holies. He went into the Holy of Holies. And you know he shouldn't have been up in there. The priest could only go there once a year. Come on now. He went into the Holy of Holies and called himself, going to be smart with smelling himself. I'm a great person. I've done all this. I've done all that. God gave me wisdom to do all this. And I'm going to take some incense. And I'm going to offer. The priests, they broke on him. They came in and said, hold up. It's about 80 of them. Came up and said, what are you doing? You desecrating the Holy of Holies. You got no business up in here. That is not the law. You're going against God. Now, just think. If people were telling the president when he's wrong, how much better he would be. If you're wrong, you're wrong. It ought to be people there around him telling him when he's wrong. Moving on. That's an editorial right there. So moving on, the priest went in there. And they said, now you've got to come out of here. And he got mad. He got mad because somebody... truth was being spoken to power. And when they were speaking the truth to him, and he got so mad, still had the censer in his hand. Because the censer, you put incense in there, and the censer, you know, is holes in it, and then the smoke comes out the censer. You know, you can smell the incense, you know. Kind of like what people try to do it today. But anyway, so when he did that, he got mad. And when he got mad, he broke out in leprosy. He broke out in leprosy. And the people said, whoa, you in trouble with God. You in trouble with God. And because he was a leper now, he could not go to the castle, the temple, wherever. He could not be among the people. He had to be put away. He had to be put away. And for a whole year, he was sitting up somewhere secluded, by himself, because he acted a fool. And his son had to take over for him in ruling the kingdom. And guess what? When he was buried, he couldn't even be buried with the kings. The kings had bought some land, and he was buried downwind of the kings. He was buried in a land that the kings owned. He couldn't even be buried with the kings. Couldn't even be buried in their tombs, because he was a leper. Now, I want to draw you to this verse, and let's read it together. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as say it again. And as long started as and as long. And as long
as God made him to prosper.
One more time.
And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper.
Another place says, he sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. As long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. He continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. But you see what happened when he broke from seeking God. What happened when he broke from seeking God? Everything went to a mess. As long as we seek the Lord, God will cause us to prosper. As long as we seek the Lord, we will have success. It's when we stop seeking God, is when it becomes a mess. As long as we seek the Lord, as long as we seek God, as long as we seek God, we're going to understand God's will for our life. As long as we seek God, understanding what the will of God is for us. As long as we seek God, we're going to prosper. Stop seeking God. You out there. The hedge is down. The enemy is on you right and left. Because you stop seeking him for his wisdom and his knowledge and his understanding. We can't afford to stop seeking God. We can't afford to have a break in the hedge. We can't afford to be laying out there as a target for the enemy. We can't afford that. We got our own baggage. We come with our own baggage. We don't need the enemy on our trail. We need to stay in Jesus. We need to stay in the Word. We need to stay in his love. Stay in his presence. That's the only way we're going to succeed. Amen. Give the Lord a praise offering.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Way Outreach Full Gospel Church International. We trust that you enjoyed the Word of God. For more information, be sure to check out our website, follow us on Instagram, and like us on Facebook. And if this word was a blessing to you, don't forget to donate to this ministry via our website, www.BibleWayOutreachChurch.org. John 8:31-32 says, "If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It's the word.